Now, I know that some of you in the room are scientific thinkers, and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I know that in the Bible, when they talk about your heart, they really mean your thoughts, because there's some kind of a connection that took place there. And when we figure that out, I mean, Scripture really talks about those kind of things. And in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter, there's even a verse that says, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. And most of us in the room say, well, I probably just need to protect my thoughts, because if I can change my thoughts, then everything else seems to line up. And here's what happens, because I discovered something a few years ago. I was actually sitting in front of a mentor of mine, and we were having this conversation. And in the course of this conversation, I had just explained to him about this major devastating event that went on in my life. And he asked me this really important question. He said this. He said, Chris, where is your heart today? And I remember saying to my friend, I was like, you know, kind of sarcastically, I was like, dude, right here, right? I mean, that's, you know, I mean, surely, I mean, you're kind of a doctor. You should know where it is, right? And then he paused and he said, no, I'm asking you, really, where's your heart right now? And I know that for us, for many of us, if I were to ask you that question, you could probably think through, and the first thing that goes in your mind is, where are my thoughts going? And you go back through to, well, you know, sometimes I think these kind of thoughts that are negative about myself. Sometimes I have these thoughts that I know aren't really from God. Other times I have good thoughts, and I'm thinking positive things. But we go back to the things that are inside of us, and we forget this idea that there may be something that's coming down deep, deep, deep from within of who we are. And so my friend challenged me that night. He said, Chris, here's what I'd like for you to do. I want you to go through the entire Bible, and I want you to look up every word, every time heart's used in the Bible, and then I want you to ask yourself, write down on a piece of paper, what does it mean? Is it really just an organ inside of you, or is it just something that comes from really the center of who you are? And as I went through and I began to write down, and I opened up a what's called a concordance, and in a concordance, it's basically a book where they take all of the instances of certain words, and then they list them out. And so I open up this concordance, and the word heart is used over 350 different times throughout the Scripture. And so I was like, man, this is going to take all night. And I start to look, and I open it up, and the first one, they talk about this idea of the heart. And so I went through, and he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just make a mark, and if it's about the thing that's inside of you, if it's about the thing that's in your chest, then I want you to put that on one side of the page, and on the other side of the page, if it's about the things that are happening deep in you, an emotional state, something that went on inside of you, then you make a mark on the other side of the paper. And so I went through for the next several hours, and I'm clicking off all these things, and I discovered something that evening, and this is where this entire series gets its birth, is that night I discovered that minus about 5 or 6 times throughout all of Scripture, and the hundreds of times that heart is used, over 400, almost nearly 400 of those times, it means the very core of who you and I are. And not necessarily that organ that's pumping blood through your body right now. And so tonight we ask this question, where is your heart? Now, before we do that, I just want to say this. I want to say welcome to Crossroads, especially for those of you who are part of Crossroads North Kokomo. And I want you all to know that last weekend at Crossroads North Kokomo, and you all know this because you were there, we actually had to put up more chairs and there was standing room only. And so what an awesome experience. And so we welcome you. You showed up, you came to church, that's a really good thing. And for those of you at Crossroads North Kokomo, just so you know, you've got the hard seats. So you love Jesus more, we know it, and so thank you for doing that. And we got the real comfy seats here. But the question that I want to ask tonight, and it's a question for you as we begin this series, the question is simply this: where is your heart? And every one of you, when you came into the room, you were given a book. And so if you have a book, just go ahead and open this book up. I know that some of us have already started reading the book. You're several pages into it already. But if you would, open the book to page 2 or 3, and you will see at the very beginning about 2 pages that are open. And the idea here is for you to take some sermon notes as we walk through this message tonight, as we begin to talk about where your heart is, because I want to spur inside of you this idea of recognizing, and the challenge of this series really is for us to recognize as we go through this series that for a lot of us in the room, we're very comfortable with where our heart is. And while we may make a mistake every now and then, while something may come up and we're not really happy with it, while we may say something, we're like, whoa, where did that come from? The reality for so many of us is that we're saying, you know what? I'm really happy with where I am. I'm comfortable with where I am. I recently heard from a gal by the name of Brené Brown, and she made this quote where she said, you can either have comfort or you can have growth. You cannot have both. And for many of us, we have found ourselves in a state of comfort where we like where we are. And we know there's some problems. We know that we say some things that we shouldn't. We know at times we do stuff that we shouldn't. But many of us have come to a place where we're just saying, you know what? I don't want to change. And for whatever reason, I really don't want to have to be this kind of person. I'm happy. I made a few changes along the way. I mean, I used to be this person and now I'm here. But I'm really comfortable with where I am. And for some, it may be because of age. You're just saying, you know, look, I'm too old to change. Nobody my age ever changes. Maybe for others, it's just the idea of, you know what? I had a lot of changes happen last year. And quite honestly, I'm ready for some normalcy to happen. And so I just want to stay inside of a certain system and make everything happen. And then what happens is the apple cart gets upset because something occurs in our life, a death, a disease, or something happens, and then immediately you and I are thrust into something new, and because of it, growth has to occur. And so today, I want to ask you this question. Are you comfortable? Or are you allowing God to grow you in such a way that you're saying, God, I'm open to something new happening inside of me, whatever it is you want to do. And really, that's what's happening with this series of Heartbeat, is that over the course of the next 7 weeks, we're going to walk on a journey. And in this journey, if you're willing to open up and you're willing to say, hey, I want to take the growth track, then over the course of the next 7 weeks, you're going to be challenged in ways that you normally wouldn't be challenged. And you're going to hear a message. And then outside of the message, we're encouraging each of you to daily walk through a devotion. And you'll see the devotions every day. It'll take you about 3 or 4 minutes to walk through, along with some things to reflect, where you can read through and reflect. And then for a lot of us, and we encourage every person to be in a group, because the idea is you hear this message, and outside of this message, you get reinforced the idea behind this message in a group. And then every day, take this challenge to grow beyond where you currently are, to step outside of your comfort zone. And I know that for some of us, this will be a big deal, because we've never opened up our Bibles every day. We've never had a daily time of being quiet. We've never gotten into a group. And so now we're going to try things that we've never tried before. And this Heartbeat series for some of us is going to grow us, and it's going to grow us in a really cool way. And tonight, what we want to do is we want to launch this whole concept and idea tonight by recognizing this whole purpose of what brought us together, the whole challenge that's behind this. And it is the heartbeat of who Crossroads Community Church is. When you came into this room, you may not have understood or recognized, but for us, everything we do goes around this particular message. And it is simply this, that at Crossroads, we meet people where they are, and we help them take their next step with Christ. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to meet you where you are. There we go. That's a little bit weird, isn't it? You know, because you're like, I'm already here. I'm already sitting down next to you. And you see, here's the idea. Because we recognize that for so many of us, we're somewhere different on this journey. I mean, the person that you just turned to and said, I'm going to meet you where you are, you're at a different place on this journey than they are. That maybe you're a little further along, maybe you're not. Maybe there's things that you're struggling with that the person next to you isn't struggling with. Maybe there are things that you're doing really well and man, you're hitting it out of the park. And then there's somebody next to you and they're not doing that so well. They're not really hitting it out of the park. Maybe tonight you came here and you're in this place. And while you're in this place, you're thinking to yourself, man, I wish that I could do this better. I wish I could be this better. Or maybe you're in this place right now going, you know what? I do things okay. I really have made some strides and I'm grateful for the things that have happened. And so we recognize that whenever people come to crossroads, that people come to crossroads at all different stages and journeys. And there's some who come and they're far from God. And there's others who come and they're close to God and they're looking for another place to connect. And we recognize that this concept or idea of how this thing comes about is that we all come together. And so in order to understand this idea of meeting people where they are and helping them take their next step in Christ, I want to give us three or four insights as we move forward through understanding this. And the first insight is this, and you're going to turn to your neighbor, wake them up and say, go, very loud, okay? Go, there we go. That's the first thing. If you're writing down notes, write down the word, we go. You have to understand that meeting people where they are isn't this idea that people come and they sit, but the idea is that you and I, every single one of us, live in a world outside of church. You live in a world outside the seat that you're in, and living in that world gives you an opportunity. God placed you in the world that He's placed you in. Some of us excited about it, some of us not so excited about it, but He put us in that place for us to have the opportunity to go. And we get the privilege of going. The unfortunate piece is that for some of us, we would rather sit than go. Now, show of hands, how many of you know somebody in your world who's a couch potato? Yes, don't you just love that? I mean, the idea for them is, you know what, if you can bring this to me, and we love this convenience idea. Recently, I discovered that there are stores in town now that I don't even have to go grocery shopping anymore. Show of hands, anybody figured this out? You know what? I can actually get on my phone and I can click off the things that I want. And then I hit send and magically an hour later, somebody appears at my house and they're there with bags of groceries. But here's the problem. They don't put the groceries away. Now, surely somebody can invent the service that puts the groceries away. And then some of us, we even go so far, right, as to say, wow, wouldn't it be better if they didn't just put them away, but they cooked them? Wouldn't that be great? And then some of us go to a restaurant, dude, right? You see, I think that for so many of us, our walk with Christ is like that. We believe this idea of I show up at a place like church, and while I'm there, fill me up with enough stuff, and then the deal is I'm going to go out and forget everything that I got, and as I go out and forget everything that I forgot, I'll try to make it back next week, and when I get back the next week, then I'm going to try to get a little something more, and we'll figure this thing out. But between one place and the next, most of us get to a point where we love the idea of couch potato Christianity. And Christ never called us to that. You see, the Heartbeat series centers around who Jesus is and recognizing how our hearts begin to align with the heart of Christ. And the first way that our hearts begin to align with Christ is some of the final words that he spoke here on earth. And they're found in the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, the last couple of verses of that chapter. Jesus had already died, had risen from the dead, had spent some time with his followers called disciples, and now he's getting ready to go to heaven for one final time before he comes back and he finds us again. And here's what he has to say. He says this. He tells his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, here's what he says, sit like a couch potato. No, he doesn't say sit like a couch potato. What's the next word he says? Therefore, everybody out loud, go. He says, you go. Now, what an incredible thing that Jesus would get to the place that he would say, I've died, I've risen from the dead, big things have happened, I've done something that it seems like nobody else has ever done, and yet in the middle of all of this, here's the thing, I'm still going to go back up to heaven, and the best thing about it is I'm going to leave you in charge. You're in charge of taking this idea that I've been hanging out with you for the last 3.5 years, and you're going to take it and you're going to run with it, and you're going to make sure that everybody gets a place to be able to do these things. And then you are going to be the one who's going to make sure that this movement goes. Because I want you to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We go. Now, if you're taking down some notes, let me just give you 5 things of how we go. Here's what we do. The first step to going is this. Get off the couch. Turn to your neighbor and say, get off the couch. Now, I know you spent good money for that lazy boy. And I know that you love it because it gives you a massage in all the right spots. And I know that you just push a button these days and it goes up and down. I recently purchased one of these things. And yesterday, the power went out in my house. And I never realized how uncomfortable my chair is until I realized I cannot put my feet up. And while I was sitting there in the dark in my house, I looked over at my wife and I said, this is uncomfortable. She said, why? I said, because my seat's not moving. We love to sit. And Jesus says, go. Here's the second thing he says. Find someone, anyone. He says, go into all nations. And for many of us, we see this as, well, someday I'd love to go on a missionary trip to some foreign land millions of miles away, and I'd love to be able to tell those people about Jesus. And you know and I know that the chances of that happening are so little. But what Jesus is trying to say is this. You have been placed in a place. You have been placed in a family. You've been placed in a location. And that is your mission. Field. And it doesn't matter what race the people are who are around you. It doesn't matter what their socioeconomic status is of whether they're rich or they're poor. It doesn't matter what their political affiliation is. It doesn't matter what their gender is. What matters is that every person who's been placed in your world, every person that you get the privilege of running across, every person that you get the opportunity to see, guess what? Your job is to find someone, anyone, all nations. So you first go, and the second thing is to find someone, anyone. And then the third thing he says is this, then you tell them about what Christ has done for you. Make disciples. Just a show of hands, anybody in the room had Jesus do something really cool in their life? 7 of you? Good, good. Then why don't we tell others about it? Why is it that that's the biggest secret on the planet? It's an incredible thing whenever somebody finds Christ and discovers in him this incredible idea of who he is. This past week, I had the privilege of an email conversation with an individual who has moved overseas, and they're in Japan now, and they've been struggling with their walk with God, trying to figure out who Christ is in their world, and they decided, hey, I'm going to move to Japan, and I'm just going to walk away from Jesus. And so beforehand, we had this conversation, and I gave them a book, basically pointing them back to the Bible. And they said, thank you, I'll take it with me, but I don't think it's going to get read. And so they put it on their shelf, and they just left it there in their room in Japan. If any of you know anything about Japan, you know that they were hit recently by a major tsunami. And the issue is that where this person lives, right before the tsunami, there was an earthquake that shattered everything in their world, and it took all the power out in their place, and this person's cell phone could no longer be used. And so whenever their cell phone went down and their power went down, they thought, man, I got to figure something out. And they're trying to find lighting. And then all of a sudden, after the earthquake with the power down, a tsunami hits. And then after the tsunami, a third earthquake hits. And then eventually, my friend looks around and says, I've got to find that book. And they emailed me 4 chapters in, saying, you know, God's doing something. And they are telling me about what Jesus is doing in their world. And my encouragement to you is this: if Christ is doing something in your world, then tell others. The fourth thing of this idea of going is get wet with them. Invite them to be baptized. For you to know, November 3rd and 4th, at the end of this series, we're going to do a go-home wet type weekend. And we know that for some of you, you're going to invite some friends to come along in this journey. And the encouragement is for you to invite people as part of this journey to get a book and read it with them. And as you do, they're going to say, I'm ready to take a step. And after they accept Christ, the biggest step after accepting Christ is being baptized. And for some of you, you'll get the privilege of being in the baptistry with somebody you love and know that you've had to be able to influence them in the journey. And then the fifth and final thing is this: then tell them what you know. Learn to experience Christ is always with you together. This is how he ends it out, that Jesus never leaves us, that he's always here for us. And the idea of telling others, many of us feel like we need this big program. We need lots of ideas and thoughts, and everything needs to happen. And you need to take this step and this step and this step. And the reality is this: you know that Christ has done stuff in you, and the more that he's done in you, the more you recognize his presence and that he's there and he's with you and he loves you unconditionally. And the more that you see that, the more that you recognize that, then you get the privilege of understanding and letting the world know, hey, you come and let's experience him together. So go. Turn to your neighbor and say, we go. The second thing is this. It's going to shock some of you. We'll do anything short of sin to bring people to Christ. You see, most of us grew up in a place where we just said, you know what? If you can make it to my church, then that guy up in the front can convert you. And the reality is this: we believe that this understanding of bringing Jesus in is that we're willing to do whatever it takes. Paul would say this in 1 Corinthians. He would share this with us in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, to the weak, Paul says, I become weak so that I might win the weak. To the strong, or I become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. Now, if you want to look at this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at the 3 or 4 verses beforehand, and what you'll discover is that Paul says, when I'm hanging out with Jewish people, I act like a Jewish person. When I'm hanging out with Gentiles, I act like a Gentile. Paul even goes as far as to say, I'll do things with the Gentiles that the Jews would say are sinful. Why? Because Paul understands that this concept of going brings into it that there are people who are so far from God, and the people who are furthest from God are the very people who may be crying out for a God to come and save them and help them. Folks, you know people in your world who are hopeless, who wake up every day depressed and wondering, is this as good as it gets? And the unfortunate piece is that you interact with them, you work with them. Some of you go to school with them. Some of you live next door to them. Some of you sleep in the same bed with them. And we try to figure out every other way except for the real purpose of saying, look, when Christ lines my heart up with his heart, something changes in all of us. And that's really the concept of it. The third thing in this idea of meeting people where they are and helping them take their next step is that those that go together in Christ grow together in Christ. That this journey of growing is not a singular journey. That while you may look at this and say this book and say, you know what, I really appreciate this book and I'm gonna dive into this and every day I'm gonna have 5 minutes and I'm gonna do this devotion and I'm gonna do this. Many of us believe that the Christian journey is a singular journey, that it's just me and God and nobody else around us. And that's not really the way Scripture was set up. That's not really the way we were encouraged to be a part of it. The purpose of Scripture for us, the purpose of Christianity, is when we meet people where they are and help them take their next step, is that we do this together. Turn to somebody and say, we do this together. You see, here's the thing. Those that go together in Christ grow together in Christ. And one reason that many of us get hung out to dry is because we end up on one side all by ourselves alone. And we think, okay, God, you and I have got to figure this thing out together. And the Christian walk was never meant to be alone. If it was, then why would Jesus pick 12 followers? And if that's important enough, then why would those 12 followers, 11 of them made it through after the resurrection of Christ? Why would 11 of them, literally, almost all of those 11 gave their life for the cause of Christ? And the other side of it is this, you can go through and find out they did not go at it alone. There's not a worse feeling than realizing that you're the only one on the boat. Because there are certain times when you get out in the ocean of life and you realize, I have no idea where the closest land is. And when you're out there and you're alone, it's a horrible place to be. We go together. Therefore, we grow together. Peter puts it this way in the book of 2 Peter, the third chapter. He says, rather, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do this together. We do this together. And so today, as we close out, here's what I want to ask you. Three questions. And I'd like for you to ponder these questions and think through these questions a little bit. And the first question is where we started. So where's your heart at? I mean, when you think about a series and being a part of it and spending some time every day and getting together in a group, are you excited to jump into that? Or are you saying, I got to come up with another excuse to not do this and not do that, and I'm not really wanting to do that? Because if so, then be honest with yourself. Where is your heart at? Start asking, am I in the comfort stage? I've got enough Jesus. I don't necessarily need more. I've got enough, and so things are good. Or are you in a place where you're going, man, I know I could use Christ right now. I know that I need him. Every single hour I need him. Or the second thing for you, the second question is this. Christ tells me to go. What is my reason for not going? If you have somebody in your world that you know is far from God, and you know the best place is for you to meet them where they are, and maybe they're not even at a point where they're ready to say yes to come into church with you, but they are at a place where they're willing to meet you for coffee, or they are at a place where they're willing to hear a conversation from you, or they are at a place where they're willing to, for you, because of your friendship and because of the love and affection that you share with one another, that they're at a place where they're saying, hey, this is it. I would love to at least sit down and have some conversation about this. Maybe for some of us, we're afraid to do that. We're afraid to go. We're afraid to ask. We're afraid to say, hey, you know what? Let's do this thing together. What if we went on this journey together? Maybe you grab this book and you grab an extra copy and you say, you know what, I'm going to call my friend and together we're going to meet every week for the next several weeks. And what we're going to do is we're going to walk through this and I'll find out where he is and he'll find out where I'm at. And I'm going to be honest with him about my struggles and I'm going to let him be honest with me about his struggles. And together we're going to walk through this. And if you're saying, you know what, I'd rather not do that because I'm in a profession that we don't allow those things to happen. And so the people that I know would be at work or you're at a point of doing those things, then the end of the question here is then see the previous question. It might be to look at the previous question. Then the third thing is this, who needs to join me on this journey to grow together? Who is it that God's asking me to join into this journey? Who is it that he's asking me to be a part of this? Because he's not asking me to walk through this book. He's not asking me to do this all by myself, but he wants me to do this together. You know, I want to encourage you over the course of these next several weeks that you would commit to being a part of hearing every message over the course of the next 6 weeks beyond this week. That you would, if you're going to be out of town, that you would find us at ecrossroads.tv and join us online. That if you're in a situation where you're saying, I can't make it, then you can find a spot, an opportunity to do that. We publish our sermons every single week. And so you can find us on Facebook. You can see all that information in your program. But I encourage you to come every week and be a part of this journey and allow God to move in your heart in a way. And then the second thing is this. I would invite you to take this book and to open it up and take a pen or a pencil. This is our gift to you. This costs us 10 bucks. And if you want to give an extra 10 bucks, just throw it in the bag. We're not billing you for this thing. But this is our gift to you. And if you would love to go through this, my encouragement number two is that you would walk on this journey every single day, that you would hear stories. And it's not a book that I wrote. It's a book that was written by dozens of individuals who are here in the room, and that you would be willing every day, because I know that somebody will say something that will resonate with you and maybe move you beyond comfort into a place of growth. And then the third thing, be a part of a group. And you'll discover one of the biggest discoveries of all time. You know what that discovery is? People are weird. And you know what else you'll discover? You're weird too. And the good news is that together, God can take your weird and their weird, and he can somehow mesh those things together to make something beautiful in his eyes. And this is why we believe in the mission, that we meet you where you are. And our biggest goal in life is to help you take another step with Christ. And we'll do anything short of sin to make it happen. Let's pray together. Jesus, as we close out this first opportunity, I pray right now, God, for the people in the room who may be choosing comfort over growth. God, for those individuals who just say, you know what, I don't really think I'm into this. I don't think I want to try this. I'm kind of comfortable where I am. I made a decision and I showed up here. That's a big thing. But that, God, we would be willing to take a step, that we'd be willing to take a dare, if you will, to step outside of our comfort zone and seek the growth of you, that Jesus, you would help us to line our hearts a little bit more with yours. And God, you've challenged me in this in just the last few weeks. And Lord, I thank you for my son. That God, you would bring out into him something that was in me that I didn't even know. And that you would remind me, Chris, there is still more growth for you to be done in this. And so, Jesus, I come to you now with my friends in this room, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us, that Jesus, you would meet us where we are, and I know you will, and that, God, you'll help us to take our next steps with you. And that as we journey through this together, that no person, man, woman, or child will be left behind. And that even in the course of this, Jesus, we'll invite some of our closest friends, family, relatives, maybe even a spouse or two, to come and join us on a journey that we discover together how we can grow and become more like the heart of you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking your heartbeat, Jesus, and helping us to make it our heartbeat. We pray this prayer, Jesus Christ, in your holy name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.